Now we'll bring in from Miami to break down this team, Alan Poupart from Sports Illustrated. Alan, how's Tua looking so far? I'm imagining he's going to be a big part of this team.
Yeah, he's going to be a huge part of this team. How's he looking so far? I'd say he's looked solid in camp, some days better than others, which is kind of normal. And I would say he looked very good in the preseason opener against the Chicago Bears last Saturday. Of course, we can't get too carried away because it's a preseason game where defenses tend not to show a whole lot of what they're going to do in the regular season in terms of schemes, disguises, and packages and all that. Having said that, he threw the ball very well, made a lot of good throws.
Just looking at the roster here, obviously, kind of the receiving core looking pretty solid. Devontae Parker, someone who's been there for a while, but they bring in Will Fuller, and then they're drafting Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. How are the weapons looking for Tua?
Well, right now they're looking hurt is what the problem is, because Devontae Parker hasn't practiced in more than a week. Albert Wilson hasn't practiced in more than a week. And Will Fuller, the fifth, who they signed as a free agent in the offseason, has been out since the very first practice of camp after getting injured in that workout. So they've been going without three of their top wide receivers, three guys who I should mention are listed first on the team's depth chart at wide receiver. So it's given a lot of opportunities for some of the younger, less established wide receivers on the roster, guys like Robert Foster, Mac Hollins, Kirk Merritt, guys like that. And then, of course, there's the rookie first-round pick, Jalen Waddle, Tua's teammate at Alabama, who's also gotten a lot of looks. But they brought in a lot of speed in the offseason when they signed Fuller, when they drafted Waddle. The only thing is right now they haven't really been able to see everything in action together because of the injuries.
Alan, seeing that they are doing the mixed practice here with the Atlanta Falcons, how much is the intensity wrapped up when they do these mixed practice and it start to hit somebody in other colors?
Yeah, no, it makes a big difference. And not only that, is you're going against a different team that's going to do different things on offense and defense, and you're not hitting your own guys as much as they hit in practice. And what we saw, the Dolphins did the same thing last week with the Chicago Bears up in Chicago. I was up there for those practices, and the first day there was practically nothing in terms of skirmishes, and the second day got a little bit chippy, and you had, let's say, three or four minor altercations break out, no punches thrown, but people getting in each other's face, and it wouldn't surprise me if that happened again tomorrow when the Falcons and Dolphins have their second of the two joint practices, because, again, and on top of the fact that the intensity is ramped up, and let's say instead of going, I don't know, three-quarter speed in the practice, let's say you're going 95% if you're going against another team, the fact that it's insanely hot in South Florida right now probably is going to make the players more ornery than they normally would be, so it wouldn't surprise me if tomorrow maybe we saw a little more action in terms of maybe some minor altercations or little skirmishes.
The Dolphins have put quite a bit of draft capital into our offensive line. You look at last year, a first and a second. This year, a second. Is that group starting to look like something's going to be able to keep Tua upright?
No, not right now. I would say right now it's looking like a group that's very worrisome. You mentioned, yeah, the first, second. They drafted a guy in the fourth round last year as well. And then they got the second round pick, Liam Eikenberg, this year out of Notre Dame. And the pass protection was very spotty, and that's being kind, in the preseason opener against the Bears. Even in the joint practices, either in 11-on-11 drills or even on one-on-one pass rushing drills, D linemen against offensive linemen, I mean, there's cause for concern. Right now, it's a problematic offensive line. And then Dolphins went out and made a trade yesterday, acquiring another former recent high-round pick. They got former second-round pick Greg Little from the Carolina Panthers for a seventh-round pick after he didn't pan out over there. This is the Dolphins taking a shot that maybe he can come in and find the magic touch that was missing in Carolina to bring some help to this offensive line, because right now, yeah, it's a major concern and the biggest concern on this team, 3 weeks before the start of the regular season.
Alan Poupart joining us here on the Jason Greger Show discussing the Miami Dolphins. He covers the team with SI. Alan, I want to just go back to Tua Tagovailoa. And coming off last year, when he started, the team went 6-3. He threw 11 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, only ran for a couple more. What have you seen in his game that might give you a little more confidence thinking that he can be the guy and take that next step this season?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I hadn't seen anything during training camp that really wowed me to make me think that he was really take a jump. And then the preseason opener came against Chicago last Saturday. And like I said, he made a lot of really nice throws where he found guys in really tight windows to make completions. A couple of them on third down really stood out. One to Mac Hollins, one to Mike Gesicki. And I'm not even counting the 50-yard pass of Gesicki in the first quarter. That was the one highlight that everybody showed, because that one was just a product of great offensive line work. But you need to see signs that you're not going to be as reluctant to throw into tight windows as he was last year, which was an issue with him. And he himself admitted that he wasn't necessarily crazy about throwing downfield if his guys weren't open. Well, unfortunately, if he is going to take that next step toward becoming that elite quarterback, those are throws he absolutely has to make. And again, I saw some of those against Chicago on Saturday, which brings me hope that we're heading in the right direction there.
We've talked a lot about the offensive side of the ball. What about the defensive side of the ball? Are they going to be able to give some extra chances, touches for the offense with some quick three and out or four and outs, I guess?
I think the potential is there. Last year, what they did better than anybody else was force turnovers. And most of the key guys are back from last year. But now they got rid of a couple of high-profile veterans. They released Kyle Van Noy in the offseason. They traded Shaq Lawson to Houston. But they also made some really intriguing additions, particularly in the draft with first-round pick Jalen Phillips, who's going to be an edge defender, linebacker, slash defensive end with a lot of pass-rushing potential. And then your second-round pick is Javon Holland, kid from British Columbia who played at Oregon, opted out last year, didn't play, but had 9 picks in his 2 seasons at Oregon. And so far in training camp, he's had 3 interceptions, which tells us this is a guy who clearly has a nose for the ball and the ball finds him. And if you add another guy to the returning guys who were so good at creating turnovers, starting with Xavier Howard, who led the NFL with 10 picks, I think the potential is there for this to be a unit that, again, is going to be tough to deal with in terms of creating turnovers.
That was actually where I was going to ask, Javon Holland being a Canadian player. I know, Alan, you're Canadian, Strutty's an I-Canadian, a lot of Canadians just talking NFL. Good to hear that he's having success there. I guess my final question will be, for the coaching staff and Brian Flores, I mean, it seems like they've just gradually improved throughout his time with the Miami Dolphins. Looking at the division, you got the Patriots rebounding. Obviously, the Buffalo Bills looking like they could be a powerhouse in the AFC. Where do you think they finish in the division when it comes to the standings?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think you might flip a coin between them and New England for second place. I don't think either of those teams can catch Buffalo. I think Buffalo has too much, unless Josh Allen has a major regression back to his inconsistent ways in terms of a passer when he was a rookie. But, I mean, his arrow has been pointing upward in terms of the accuracy ever since that rookie season. So I don't see him taking a major step back. And I don't know that the Patriots or the Dolphins can catch Buffalo. The question is whether the Dolphins or the Patriots can get a wild card berth in the AFC. And the Dolphins were right on the door last year. They were in control of their fate heading into that season finale. Buffalo got blown out after actually leading after the first quarter. But that game kind of showed that they weren't quite there yet. And for them to close that gap, it needs to come from the offense, and the offense being more supportive of what the defense has done. And the question is going to be, okay, well, can Tua take the step that he needs to take? And right now, as we mentioned before, will the offensive line actually play well enough to allow Tua the opportunity to take that step forward?
Great stuff. I really appreciate it. We look forward to seeing this season kick off in just a few short weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you.